Good evening. Bring you warm greetings in the name of the Lord. We've been asked to read tonight from Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. As I read through these verses, I'm very excited to hear what our brother has to preach to us tonight about. Reading from Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. With these words, let us bow for prayer.
I see a connection between Brother Paul's message of the morning and the message that I believe the Lord has given me for the evening. Paul preached this morning on the joy of the Lord, the lasting joy that we can have when we abide in Jesus and continue to submit to Him, to His will for us. And Paul talked about the connection between love and joy and peace. And that's a little of what I want, or that's what I want to talk about tonight, is peace, and especially about what to do when we find that our peace has been taken away by worry and anxiety. I wonder if you can identify with some of these things, of having trouble paying attention to the sermon when you're sitting in church because your thoughts just keep going around and coming back to some of the same things that you keep thinking over and over. And the same thing happens when you pray. You get distracted from what you started out praying about, and you find yourself having to continually go back to whatever it was you were praying about, because your mind always returns to the same things. You lie down at night and you start thinking about what you didn't get done during the day, or you wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep because you're thinking about the problems that you know you're going to face tomorrow. Having headaches, the back of your neck always feeling tight, sometimes a knot in your stomach, and sometimes you even start thinking, well, these things aren't going away. God isn't doing anything about my problems, and maybe they don't even matter to Him. I wonder if there's others that can identify with some of those things happening to you. I can. And I think many of us often find ourselves overwhelmed by worry and distracted by anxious cares. What I'd like to look at tonight is that through the Holy Spirit, the Lord gives us grace to replace our anxieties and our worries with peace. And we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 and 8 for that. Starting with verses 6 and 7, and I'd look at this and think of what they tell us about God's desire for us when we're worried and anxious. First of all, we can see right away that it isn't really God's will for us to be in a state of worry and anxiety all the time. It isn't God's desire that we would be distracted by cares and concerns. when he says, be careful for nothing. Now, being careful there doesn't mean be careful for nothing, that doesn't mean go out and be reckless. It really just means don't be distracted by anxious thoughts about anything. And it's similar to what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6. And I am going to turn to this. Matthew 6, there's three times at the end of chapter 6 that Jesus said, take no thought. Verse 25, he says to take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Then in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And again in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. And again, this is not saying don't think about it at all. It's not, Jesus wasn't saying never plan ahead. But it's the same word as what we have in the text of Philippians chapter 4. Don't be distracted by anxious thoughts or by worries. And Jesus was saying this in the context of don't be distracted by worries about the necessities of life. But when Paul wrote this here to the Philippians, he says, be careful for nothing. And so he extended it beyond just the physical necessities and our concerns that we have there of whether we're going to have enough money to provide for something or whether we're going to be able to repair something that broke or whatever it is, those things. Paul says, be careful for nothing. And so it isn't just about physical needs. So God doesn't intend for his people to be distracted by worries and anxieties and cares and concerns. That's one of the observations we can make right away. But God doesn't just tell us, don't be anxious. If we keep reading here, be careful for nothing, but God gives us something else in place of distraction and worry and anxiety. And I find a lot of comfort in that. You know, if we didn't know Christ, if we were not in Christ, we were unbelievers, we'd still have the same problems that we have now. Because everybody has the problems, whether it's the physical necessities of life or relationship problems or problems at work. Everybody has those. But if we were unbelievers, we wouldn't have Christ to turn to with those. And so when we read here, be careful for nothing, but as believers, we have something else besides just dealing with your worries and anxieties the best that you can. And this is something that the Lord has given us, not to scold us or to condemn us when we are distracted by worries and anxieties. I don't see it that way, as much as this is not my will for you, this is not where I want you to be, and I'm going to give you something to do to address your worries and anxieties. Another observation I would make from the text is that all of our cares matter to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. None of our cares and concerns are too great for God's grace. And none of our cares and concerns is too trivial for his attention. And I would also see here that God has something better for us than being worried and anxious. He has his peace that he offers us. Verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, in place of being distracted by cares and concerns and continually dealing with anxieties and worries, God has something else that he wants to give us. He wants to literally surround us or protect us or guard us. That's what it means there. The shall keep your hearts and minds. It's to guard us. And he wants that peace. That is his will for us. Not that we would be worried and anxious, but that we would be protected by his peace. So God's desire for his people is that they would not be distracted by worry and anxiety. Now, God's guidance for the worried and anxious, he doesn't just say, don't worry, and he doesn't just say, don't worry about anything. He gives us something to do when we find ourselves worried and anxious. The first thing that he says is to pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's pretty thorough, because there's actually different kinds of praying that Paul lists here. First, there's just prayer in general. Prayer here is the general attitude of recognizing our total dependence on God and just releasing my grasp on my problems. That's probably the hardest thing for me to do with the things that worry me or make me anxious, is just to let go of them. But I need to come to God in prayer with those things, recognizing that he is able when I am not able, and that I can let go of those things. I don't have to cling to them. So this first word, prayer, here is that attitude that he wants us to come to him with. Then there are supplications, and these are specific needs, whether it's financial needs, situations at work, disagreements at church, family concerns, all of those things. Those are the supplications, the specific needs that we talk to God about, telling him specifically about them, naming them, and again, recognizing that we don't have the solution to this, that we can't take care of these things on our own, and we need him either to take care of them or to show us how to take care of them properly. There's prayer, there's supplications, and there are requests. And the requests would be the specific details of our supplications. And God's not going to get bored if you go through this with him. Now, I don't believe that he wants us to continue to dwell on these things over and over and over, and we'll see that there's something else that he wants us to do. And remember, in all of this, when we come to God, and here's something else that I have to deal with, it's not that I come to him with a complaint list, but I come to him that I would come to him with the things that trouble me and concern me, that I want to turn over to him and have him deal with them instead of me feeling like I have to take care of all of them. Recognizing that God alone has the answer. So we pray, and Paul says that when we pray, it's always to be with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul says that to the Colossians also. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, he says to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he even says to give thanks for all things, which is even more difficult. Even in our difficult times, we still have reasons to give thanks. Now, one reason to give thanks is that when we give thanks, it helps to turn our focus off of our problems. If all I think about is my problems, that's going to be my focus. If I can tell myself I need to give thanks, and I can intentionally look for things to thank God for, my focus is being removed from the things that worry me and cause me anxiety. It helps us to step back from our problems and see God's grace at work. And it can be God's grace at work in ways that seem like he is dealing with things and that we never expected, that there are answers to our prayers that we have never expected. And sometimes it's even just giving thanks for God's common grace. Just a really simple example of this, yesterday I sat down for lunch, And I was praying before I ate, and I was asking God for His grace, because I was thinking about this, and I was also thinking about the things that are troubling me. And so I'm trying to put into practice what I'm going to preach. And so I was asking God for His grace, and I realized just how much of God's common grace I was already enjoying in that moment. I was sitting in a comfortable place that's pleasant to me at our dining room table. The sun was shining in the windows. I was sitting down to eat enjoyable food. All of those things are already God's common grace that He has given to me. And I can give thanks for that, but I also give thanks for His grace in other ways, that He has shown me His grace in giving me salvation, first of all, and delivering me from my sins, putting me in pleasant places, as the scriptures say, in so many different ways. And it takes the focus off of the things that are troubling me and that cause me to worry and to be anxious. And we can also give thanks when we pray, when we're worried and anxious, because of the fact just that God cares about our concerns and wants us to present our concerns to Him. I was reading this afternoon a short article, 10 Things You Should Know About Islam. And one of the things that was listed is that Allah is not a personal deity. Muslims do not believe that Allah desires a personal relationship with them, to know them personally or to be known personally by them. But that is what Jesus does want with us. He wants us to know us personally, and He wants us to know Him fully and to abide in Him and to remain in Him and to have fellowship and communion with Him. And He wants us to bring our cares and concerns to Him. That alone is cause to give thanks when I'm anxious and worried. And when we pray, while we're worried and anxious, we keep on. These verbs are in the present imperative, which means it keeps going on. It's a continuing command. It's not a once and done thing, that you present your requests to God and that's it. And I think all of us know that from our experience. It's pretty easy to pick up the things that we gave to God, at least it is for me. I have a lot of trouble releasing them and not taking them back. And I might have to keep doing this over and over, and there will be other things that come along that will cause me to worry or to be anxious. So I keep doing it over and over. Don't quit. And pray specifically. And pray thoroughly. There's three different words used here for prayer, really, I think, to cover all of the possibilities in our prayers. So God does not intend for His people to be worried and anxious. And in His guidance to them, when they are worried and anxious, first He says to pray thoroughly and specifically, releasing our grasp on our problems and giving them to Him. And then He also says to think about good things. I think that the fact that verse 8 follows immediately after verses 6 and 7 implies a connection there. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And in verse 7, he says about the peace of God, which is the promise that is there for us. But then immediately he follows with verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. In a way, that sounds frustrating. If you're lying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning You probably don't want to be thinking on the things that make you worried. You don't want to think about them, and you're thinking, well, I already know that. I don't want to think these worried thoughts. But apparently God wants us to learn to have self-control even in what we think about. Now, there's some things that we can do about that, and we're going to look at that. But he wouldn't tell us to think on these things if we were incapable of exercising some degree of control over what we think about. God wouldn't tell us to do something that is out of our control to do. So if he says, think on these things, that must mean that we have, or he will give us, the power to do that. And if we realize that it's through self-control, and that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, then that is really the key. That if we are in Christ, we have his Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn to exercise control even over our thoughts. But I would also notice, and this is helpful, this is a positive command, not a negative. Paul did not write, don't think about your worries. That would be a lot harder to do. If I tell you not to think about something, well, you're going to think about it just because I named it. And if Paul had said, don't think about the things that worry you and cause you anxiety, that's what you're going to think about. And so the Lord doesn't say that. Instead, he says, think on these things. He told us what to think about. Now, the fact that there's things that the Lord doesn't want us to do, he doesn't want us to be worried and anxious and distracted, and he does want us to think about certain things, must mean that he intends for us to learn how to take our thoughts and evaluate them and discern them, so that we would take the thoughts that we think and think about our thoughts, really. Now, that sounds strange, but we do that. Or at least we should do that sometimes. We do it with other people and the things that they say. We hear somebody say something, and we think, well, that's really not quite the way that really is. We can do it with the things that other people say. We have to learn to do it with the things that we say to ourselves. Not all of our thoughts are necessarily true or honest or just or whatever it is. So what do we do then? How do we learn to think good thoughts when we're worried and anxious? And again here, I don't believe that the scriptures are scolding us or are condemning us. But I believe this is here to give us hope, to give us a way when we find ourselves troubled by things. To be hopeful and to be patient, first of all. God doesn't tell us to do something without offering the grace that we're going to need for that. And to remember that sanctification is a lifelong process. When I'm worried and anxious, I want to get over it right now. And yet, as with so many things, it takes time for the Lord to work with us a lot of times. Sometimes he'll take it away immediately. Sometimes he wants us to learn to work through this with his power and his Holy Spirit. Our minds can be renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And Ephesians 4:23 also talks about the renewing of our minds. So be hopeful if you find yourself worried and anxious and you want to learn to think on good things. Be hopeful, be patient, keep working at it, and don't give up. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Psalm 139 can be a helpful prayer for us in this. Psalm 139, verse 23, I believe it is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And ask the Holy Spirit to do that with us, to search our hearts, to know our thoughts, to try them, and then to tell us what the Holy Spirit sees there. That we would discern, that we'd be able to know that. And sometimes for me, it's been helpful even to think about what really is the reason that I'm anxious about this? Why am I worrying about this specific thing? And for me, what it comes down to is often one of these three things: that I feel like I need to be in control of a situation, and I'm anxious because I know there are parts of this that are out of my control, and that makes me anxious and worried. Sometimes the motive behind my worry is that I feel like I need to know the future, to know what's going to happen. I get uncomfortable if I don't know what the plans are or how things are going to turn out, and so I worry because of that. And sometimes I'm anxious because I need to feel approval from the people around me, and I'm not getting that, and so it makes me wonder, well, what are they thinking? And I worry about that. And so asking the Holy Spirit to help me to understand my thoughts and to be able to evaluate them and know where they're coming from, so that I can then go on and exercise self-control over my thoughts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And something I've read from a counselor several years ago is to learn to talk back to yourself. This is one time you can talk back. Psalm 42. There's something that's repeated three times in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Those two are really connected. Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." To whom was, I assume this was David, to whom was David speaking? He was talking to himself. And he recognized that emotionally he was cast down, he was upset. He recognized that, and he's saying, "Why are you cast down? Why are you upset?" That's repeated again in verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Psalm 43, verse 5, the same thing is repeated again. And he was talking back to himself. And there are times that I have to do this to break out of the cycle of worry and anxiety. Because if you're like me, when you're like this, it's the same thoughts over and over. And to step back and say, "Now, why are you worrying about this? It's out of your control. There's nothing you can do about that. And there's certainly nothing you can do about it in this moment right now. Why are you worrying about this when God is in control? Why do you feel like you need to know what's going to happen on Wednesday when it's Sunday night and there's no way for you to know? Why are you worrying about that when God already knows? It's already the present to Him. So why am I troubled about it? Hope in God. Put my trust in Him." Talk back to yourself. And choosing how to think. And this is difficult. And this, I believe, is something that has to be learned, especially if we've got into bad habits of what we think about. It takes time to break habits of the mind. How to think and what we think about, though, are ultimately choices of the will. And our thoughts are not outside of our control. And so perhaps when I pray, I could say, Lord, I know that I can't control everything about this problem. Parts of this problem are out of my hands, but I know they are in yours. Help me to deal with the parts of this problem under my control in a way that glorifies you. And I will trust you to take care of the parts I can't control. That's a choice for me to think that way. And sometimes I might not even really say it to myself with a whole lot of conviction, but I'm going to keep saying that because even at some level, even though I may not feel it with a whole lot of conviction, I know it is true. And I'm going to keep repeating that because I know it is truth. And that is what I will choose to think about. Or I could say, Lord, I don't see a way through this problem, but I know you're already on the other side of it. Help me to follow your will in this moment without knowing what comes next. And I believe, I choose to believe, that whatever you bring me to, you will bring me through, and you will make me more like your son as I go through it. Something else that I need to learn to do in learning to choose my thoughts is to think about something other than tomorrow. Just take one day at a time. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And he wasn't saying there, don't plan. He's just saying, don't dwell on the things that might happen tomorrow. You're in the present. You're in today. Deal with today, and don't try to carry all the maybes and what ifs of tomorrow today. When you get there, God will be with you. It's like manna. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. God gave Israel manna for one day, and that's all they needed. And they had to trust that the next morning he'd give them the manna for that day. And so when I'm in today, God will give me what I need, and I need to learn to trust that tomorrow he'll give me what I need and not look at tomorrow. Look past tomorrow and look at eternity is another thing that is helpful. Trust God right now, but look forward to the reward that he's laying up for us when we are faithful. And don't let the worries about what's in between now and eternity distract us from the grace in the moment. And don't let those worries block our vision of our hope. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Doesn't come to mind right now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It was because of what he saw on the other side of the cross that he was able to go through that. And he's our pattern then. When we go through things, it may be that we'll go through a trial far greater than any of us are experiencing right now. And it may just be some of the daily cares and concerns of life. Whatever it is, though, he is our pattern in looking past that and fixing our eyes on the reward, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. Also, in learning to choose our thoughts, a lot of this for me is to replace junk thoughts with wholesome thoughts. And here's what I'm meaning when I say junk thoughts. Why do we like to eat junk food? And some of us have a weakness for it. For me, it would be chips, usually. Not sweets as much as chips. I like them, and I would eat a lot of them if I didn't control myself. If I would do that, I would not be well nourished. And I wouldn't have any appetite for those things that are good. And sometimes the reason, and I'm saying this about myself, sometimes The reason why I have trouble choosing good things to think about is because I've been feeding my mind with things that aren't as good to think about. Things that are pleasant immediately, but have no lasting value. Things that distract me from what I should be doing. And it's not necessarily things that are evil, but just things that catch our attention, catch our eyes. For some of us, we can get distracted by focusing on the news. Sometimes it's social media, because we know that the whole intention behind the algorithms of social media is to get you drawn in, to get you agitated, and to feed that agitation. Talk radio, podcasts, entertainment, how much of it is really true and lovely in those things that Paul writes here? If I learn to stop consuming junk thoughts or junk things that feed my thoughts and to feed myself wholesome things, in time I will be able to think about those things that the Lord wants us to think about. And there are things that we can do for this. Wholesome music is helpful. Reading. There are some podcasts. But then there are just sometimes I need to learn to be quiet. And to be quiet and to commune with the Lord, to talk to Him, and then to let Him speak to me through His Word. What can we think about when we're worried and anxious? We can think about God's character. You can always start with that. And the more that we think about God's character, the more we can stop focusing on the immediate problems in front of us. So if I'm feeling like things are out of my control and I'm anxious because of that, I know that I'm weak. But I also know that God is all-powerful. How has He shown Himself strong in my life before? How have I seen God's power at work already today? And I choose to believe that He is able to do abundantly more. In fact, Ephesians says, exceeding abundantly more than I can even ask or imagine. So I can think about God's character. I can think about God's promises. I can read the scriptures looking specifically for God's promises that are made to all people and would apply to me, not taking things out of context, but to look for those things that God says are promises for all of us. And I think of what Paul read in his comments this evening. God's fellowship is something else I can think about when I'm thinking anxious thoughts. He has promised that He will never, in any way, at any time, leave us. And I know that His Holy Spirit lives within me. I can believe that, I can rest in it, and I can enjoy that presence with me. I can think about God's character. I can think about His promises. I can think about God's reward, remembering that there is a reward that He has for us. He's preparing, He said, He goes to prepare a place for us. I can meditate on that and what it will be like. And maybe some of those that I know are already there. And think about how short this life will seem when we're there and beginning eternity, and we look back on those few years that we lived here and the even fewer years that we went through some of these cares and concerns. God's desire for His people is that they would not be distracted by cares and by worry and by anxious thoughts. But He doesn't just tell us, don't worry. He gives us things to do. He says, pray. Bring your cares and your concerns to me. Tell me about them specifically. Turn them over to me. Let go of them and let me take care of them. And He says, instead of thinking these anxious thoughts, think about good things. This is a struggle, I think, a lot of times. The struggle to overcome worry and anxious thoughts, it's difficult sometimes, and it takes time. I would like to be through it right away. I don't want to have to go through something. I want to be at the destination immediately. My dad has said before, when he's traveled and he gets to the farthest point that he's traveling and now it's time to head back home, he says, I wish I had a magic be home button. And a lot of times that's the way we'd like to be with our problems. Just have a magic be through this problem button that we could push and we'd be on the other side. But that's not the way the Lord has set things up. It's a process. It's like beginning a journey, and it may not even be a short journey on a smooth paved road. It might be like a long journey on a bumpy dirt road. If that's where you find yourself, try to keep the real destination in view. And I've been thinking about this. The real destination isn't that I would be delivered from the problems that worry me and from my concerns. I would like that to be the destination. The real destination is that I would become more like Christ. And so in my worries and my anxieties and concerns, to remember that is really what is most important eternally. Not that I would be free from cares, but that I would learn to be more like Jesus. It's not as eternally important for us to find immediate deliverance as it is for us in our struggles to learn who God is and to become more like Jesus. While we're traveling, learn to pray, learn to turn over our worries to Him, and learn to think about things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. And when we do that, the Lord has promised that He will protect us with His peace.
I'd like to thank Jeff for the message tonight. I know there's times I struggle with worry. Worry about things we have no control over, like maybe politics or something. And there's times I struggle with my thought life, and I know I can do better in that area. It says about thinking on things that are true and honest, and things that are just. I think Brother Paul made that connection this morning. You know, we want to have joy. You know, we have joy because we know what's true, and we know what is just. And someone has said already that our thoughts determine our actions determine our character, and our character determines our destination. That there's some truth in that. And another thought I remember is, we're not what we think we are, but what we think we are. And that is so true. You know, if we think about a certain thing all the time, we probably or what we think about. Later on in this chapter, it talks about contentment. Paul says, whatsoever state he was in, he was therewith to be content. And I had to think of this past week. Some of us went over to visit Brother Harold. We heard he wasn't doing as well as he was, and we thought we'd better. We've been putting it off, and we thought we'd go visit him. And Marion and Pat and Donald were along, and we really had a good visit there with him, and I was thankful we went. And one thing that stood out with me, that he seemed to be content there. I was a little bit surprised because Harold was always the type that to be on the go and to get things done, but he seemed to be content. And the one time he even said he thinks he's in an old folks' home here. And he was a little mixed up, but it wasn't real bad. And before we left, Marion asked him to pray, and I was really thankful for that because he didn't get mixed up at all in his prayer. He had a beautiful prayer for us, and I was really blessed for being there, and I was glad we went. It was really good to hear Brother Harold pray again. Let's stand for a closing prayer.